I'm Kitty Hogan. And what?
It's dope. What are you listening to?
And I'm listening to Beyond the Marble. I'm listening? Wait, I'm listening to it?
You're telling people what they're listening to.
And you're listening.
Yeah. Okay, you can do it again. Go ahead.
I'm Katie Hogan, and you're listening to Beyond the Barbell.
All right. Welcome back to Beyond the Barbell, sponsored by Reebok, the official outfitter of CrossFit and the CrossFit Games. I'm Blair Morrison.
And I'm Ben Alderman, and I'm, well, we're joined by Ben Smith, 2015 fittest man on earth, 2016 second fittest on earth. We've known Ben for a long time. This is the first time you have him on the show. I'm super stoked.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, man.
Ben's pretty dodgy when we try to get to him. So, yeah, I'll be there. And then, you know, we got competitions to win and food to eat. Always eating.
But the, you know what the thing is? This time he's waiting on us.
That's true.
He was waiting on
that
us.
That felt good. That felt good. Ben, all right. So you're back here in Wadapalooza. This is your third year here, right, in a row? Second year with the
second
brothers?
Second year with the brothers, yeah.
Second year with the brothers.
Yeah.
Doing the three-man team in the elite division. How's it going so far?
We had the first event with the heavy Fran, and then just, you know, casually hop on the assault bike. That was pretty bad, but that one probably is going to be the hardest one of the weekend, I'm assuming. The rest of it is going to be pretty fun.
I'm kind of irritated about that whole workout just because I was ahead of you on the assault bike. I got there first, and then all of a sudden I hear you how many calories you guys got, and you beat me by like 10 calories in less time. I'm like,
yeah,
I thought it was all right on the assault bike, man.
It was a savvy veteran move. I was watching from the stands, and both Bens got to the bike with about a minute to go. It's like, okay, 1 minute.
Yeah, I had like 120, bro.
120? I don't know. Ben Smith went ham on the bike. With about 30 seconds left. You waited until you had only 30 seconds.
Yeah, I couldn't kick any earlier. Yeah. That's about all I had. Just trying to catch you, Ben.
One thing that I've always appreciated about you, we've known each other since 2009, a long time, back when you were the first year at the Games. You're known as a family-oriented guy, you know? You're here with your brothers, who are amazing athletes. Your dad was a master's athlete at the game last year. You're married. You own your box. Everything is within the Smith family.
Sure.
Maybe you can talk a little bit about what that means to you to have all that support and to kind of give back that way through the family, and kind of also why you do it that way. Like, what part of your personality leans towards being so family-oriented?
Yeah, I mean, we've always been very family-oriented. I think it comes from the fact that my dad was in the Navy and we moved around all over the world for a while till we settled down and I was in high school. Growing up like that and moving all around, you know, you always have your family there with you, so they're always there supporting you through your sports, your education, whatever you're doing. So they've always been that backbone of everything that we do, and they've always been there for us and supporting us. And something like when I opened the gym, when I finished my degree in mechanical engineering and decided I wanted to open a CrossFit gym, my dad, one of his dreams, like his whole life, he's always wanted to own his own gym and open a gym. So he's like all into it from the very beginning, and he's been able to help me out since I started, and he helps me out with all the business stuff. You know, I mean, you guys know how hard it is to run a gym. There's a lot that goes into it. I don't do it all by myself. I don't do hardly anything by myself. Like, I have a lot of good people around me. You know, not only my parents, but, you know, friends at the gym. You know, Adam, coaches, my brothers. Like, everybody pitches in just a little bit. And, like, that's the reason why everything is so successful.
I didn't really expect that story to go that way. I thought you were going to say, I finished my degree in mechanical engineering, told my dad I want to open a gym. He was like, no, you got to go be a mechanical engineer. But it was instead, they were just all in on you.
Yeah,
you
pay all this money for you to be a gym owner.
Yeah, no, he loved it. He's all in. He's always wanted to open a gym, and he's there every morning at 6 a.m., and he's there when it closes. So he's got a job. He's a engineer as well. He's a civil engineer, and he's got his own works as his own company and everything. So he's got plenty of other stuff going on, but he helps out a ton at the gym too.
So you guys like fabricate and design your own equipment or something?
I mean, no, Rogue takes care of that.
Okay. They just built a lot of bridges over the top of it.
So what is your main role then within the gym? You know, since everybody's doing stuff, I mean, do you have a kind of a clear role for yourself?
I mean, right now I'm coaching. I probably coach a class a day, I would say. Just I'm there all the time. I'm training all the time. So my job right now really is just kind of training. I coach. I'm like a helper kind of coach out, and then I'll be like, you know, bouncing around the gym and, you know, hanging out with people that are in there and doing most of my own training and stuff like that. But I used to coach a lot more. At one point, I coached all the classes every single day, which was absolutely draining. Trying to compete in the CrossFit Games, you know, I was getting married, and then trying to run every class at the gym. I couldn't remember my own name. And then now I have Adam is the head coach now at the gym, so he took over that role. And then we have a lot of other help and other coaches at the gym that pitch in a little bit, and it's going really well. So I've been able to take a step back and focus more on the athlete side of it and training as much as I can, and kind of building up the business in other ways, like with my programming and my online training and everything like that.
Awesome. So do you still think of yourself predominantly as an athlete?
Yes. Yeah. But I mean, the gym is huge. Like, the gym is a huge part of my everyday life. So I'm at the gym all the time. Like, anything, if the gym needs anything, I'm there to help out. If the gym needs a coach, I'm there to coach. So, like, that's a huge focus, and I think that's really important. Having that community and having that family-oriented business is huge. You know, I think every CrossFit gym should be like that.
How many hours a week would you say you're actually physically in the gym? Not necessarily just training, but, like, grand total, how many hours a week are you in the gym?
Maybe 4 or 5 hours a day, you know, on average. Sometimes more, sometimes less.
That's probably significantly less than it used to be. Like,
oh,
you
yeah.
Said.
I mean, I used to be there at 6 a.m. and then closing at 7 and 8 o'clock, and I was there all day training. I would go home for an hour, eat lunch, fall asleep on accident, and then come back.
I mean, just like the psychological fatigue of a day like that. I mean, it's amazing that you were as successful as you were as an athlete up to that point.
Yeah, I mean, even then I had a lot of people helping me, maybe not at the gym, but they were helping me on the family side of things, or helping me with my training or my recovery, or take care of a lot of other things while I was doing that coaching.
So I want to go back to the 2015 season when you won the title of Fittest on Earth.
Sure.
What was your lifestyle like during that time? Was that like a time in your life when you could just train a lot, or was that just like a perfect storm and everything kind of came together? And, you know,
that was the year you said you were finally healthy.
Yeah, that was my first year since 2009. 2009, I was healthy. I didn't have any injuries. Every single year up to that, I had an injury that limited my range of motion or changed the way I move, like on every rep basis. Like, I would feel it, or it made me shift around that, like a knee problem or a back problem or whatever it was. So that year I was completely healthy, and I had a really good, like, 6 months of training even leading up to that. And I just felt really good. Like, everything was lining up. I was focused more on my training than I was on the gym. So, like, I really did take a step back. Like, when I came back to the gym, I didn't recognize a lot of the new people that had started coming in, and I didn't like that. So I got back into, you know, being around and coaching a little bit and getting to know everybody again, and I'm really enjoying it again.
In that year, that 2015 year, Frazier was in the lead for most of the weekends, and you kind of charged that final day, which was really fun for us to watch as, you know, a supporter and a friend of yours.
The heavy kettlebells and, just fun to watch.
Yeah, it was just a great, it was probably the best finish that we've probably ever seen on the male side. It was really great. And then we have back the next year, and, you know, this time Frazier was able to kind of go wire to wire. But in those two seasons, it seems like you guys are both young. You're both in your prime, you know, physically from a fitness standpoint. There's nothing anybody can't do. Do you think that's kind of a motivating rivalry?
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
I look forward to it. It's great. I mean, I knew, like, that year in 2015, I had a little bit of a different feeling. Like, for something in the back of my head, I just knew I was going to, I knew I could do it, and I knew I was going to win it that year. You could ask me, I told people that, I told my wife that, I told my family that before the games, like, even happened, like, and I just had a good feeling about it. And, you know, same thing in the next year. Like, it was like there was nothing that I could do to finish above second place, you know, so it was kind of just, that's where the cards fell. And I'm looking forward to next year and being able to get back in there with a, you know, a little bit different mindset and try to attack it and see what happens this year, you know. I'm looking forward to each year.
Yeah, I mean, and how do you take and learn from each year, right, and, like, try to adjust your training? Let's just look at this year. Like, what are you focusing on more of, or what are you doing less of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right, it's like you win it one year, come second the next year. It's like, how do you get better than that, right?
Well, honestly, I felt like I competed better. I competed better and performed better in 2016 than I did in 2015. It's just Matt was better this year than he was the year before. So I really do feel like I competed better in 2016. It's just that's where the cards fell out, you know.
Was it programming maybe, or was it just literally like Matt was it that place where he was at? He was firing all cylinders.
You know, I don't know. You could be skeptical and you could say whatever, but I think he just did really well. He had an awesome weekend. He was on like there was nothing that he couldn't do, and he was finishing top five, top ten in every event. That's hard to beat. It's like when you're playing golf, like somebody's just playing better golf. You can't do anything about it.
Right. You know, and watching that last year, that guy, he's insanely motivated anyways, like very, very competitive person. He just seemed like he was not taking no for an answer. Like
he was not going to be angry
second 3 years in a row.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know,
his like post-workout interviews were super short. And like, I know Ben's right there. It's not over till it's over. Yeah. Mic drop.
Yeah. You know, super. And that's what you have to have if you want to win the games. You got to have that focus, and it's got to be there the whole weekend. And you can't let up at all. So, I mean, he had it that year. I did what I could, and, you know, I'm looking forward to next year. I think it's going to be a rivalry, you know, for the years to come, and I'm looking forward to it. I know I haven't hit my prime, so I know I'm getting better, and, yeah.
Who else do you see on in the field as someone that could kind of enter into that rivalry? It'd be cool to see our sport have, like, four or five guys who legitimately can win it, and just depends on how they perform that day. You know, like in tennis, they have, like, a big four guys who you know are going to win or be in the finals. Like, who do you see as being one of those potential people?
I mean, you see the same top five, top ten every year at the games. It's those guys that are.
Do you see the same top five?
I mean, they're close. They're all relatively
similar names,
similar.
Right?
Like, yeah. Hanchick's always up in the top.
Hanchick's always there.
Yeah.
I mean, who else? I'm not.
I mean, last year was two new guys. You had Vellner and
Fikowski. Every year it seems like two new guys finish in the top five.
Right.
Right.
Every year. You know, and then
the rest are the
other
same.
Than that, the rest are fairly similar.
Cole Sager's been there a couple years in a row. Top 10.
How do you feel? I just want to ask, as we brought up his name, how do you feel about Fikowski? What do you think about him as a competitor, as an athlete?
I've gotten a chance to talk to Fikowski a little bit. He talks a lot of trash online, which you do see, and it's like that's not normal for a CrossFit athlete. And I guess it's a little bit different.
It looks like he's doing it for fun.
Like, yeah, he seems like he's doing it for fun. But I've talked to him. He's a really cool guy. He's a competitor. You know, he's really good when he's on. You know, he has those events where he's still a little bit, you know, he's up in some and then he's down in some. So
right, needs to develop.
As he develops as an athlete, I think he's going to be right up there with everybody else. And if he, you know, nails down those weaknesses and he doesn't have those weaknesses, he's a strong athlete. He's really good. He's going to be there in the future for sure.
What I think is interesting about him, and I'd love to talk to him this weekend while we're here, is he just looks different than your typical top end games athlete.
Yeah.
He's a big guy.
He's kind of like Spencer Hendel.
Right. Spencer Hendel, Tommy Hackenbruch, the bigger, taller, wider frame guys. Watching him on that first event with the teams, he did the heavy Fran unbroken and then went to the bike and looked like he was just like getting on the bike fresh, you know? Yeah. Just like has that huge aerobic capacity where, you know, his muscles don't really pump out so much. It's interesting. I think it's a good call. I think he could be one of those guys that you see kind of continue to develop and get
it. Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
So the first event, which was the Fran here at Wodapalooza, and then we have the rope climb event, you know, and it's like, I feel like your family's kind of known for being this very well-rounded group of athletes. Do you expect to do better on the rope climb workout, or did you do better on the Fran workout?
Honestly, I feel like that first workout would have been our worst workout for the whole weekend. So
just so you know, everybody's saying that.
Okay. Well, I mean, yeah, that's how I felt.
So how do you feel about the second workout then?
I think we'll do well. So I'm looking forward to it. Like Alex, very gymnastics oriented.
How many rope climbs is he going to do in a row?
I don't know. We got to talk to him, but he can do a lot of rope climbs really fast. That's all I know. But I think it comes down to more on the double unders on that side, especially with our team. I think we'll finish 30 rope climbs well under, you know, the 5 or 6 minute mark. So it's just a matter of getting the double unders done fast enough.
Right.
So every workout has
that. So funny because I think a lot of people are thinking the other way around, right?
They're like, the double unders going to happen sooner.
Yeah, because their rope climb capacity maybe not what the Smith Brothers team is. So very interesting.
Every team's a little different.
Yeah, Alec is an incredible gymnast. It's fun watching him do what he does.
Yeah, he's gotten really strong lately.
He's a nerd, though. I just had to throw it out there.
Whatever, nerd. But he's a Nike athlete, right? You're a Reebok athlete. Is there any sort of this is a Reebok podcast.
Yeah.
Do you have any sort of like fun rivalries between the Nike Reebok thing within the gym?
I mean, we mess with each other all the time because he's always coming in new flashy clothes, and you know, Nike versus Reebok, it's always like. It's always there. You know,
what's your go-to? Like, how do you knock him down? Like, knock him down a peg?
Did you just show him the gold medal from the games? Scoreboard. bro. Scoreboard. Just look at the scoreboard and...
It's important. You got to keep those younger brothers in check, man.
Yeah. You know, and just like we mentioned Fikowski and talked about him, if we mention your brother, you know, like... You and I actually had a conversation with your brother while we were in Kauai for the Ultimate Hawaii Trail Run. And we just looked at him and we're like, dude, why have you not went to the games yet? Why have you not done these things yet? You are an incredible athlete. How do you break down somebody like your brother? How do you coach him up and try to give him the confidence that he needs maybe? Yeah, in order to go to that level. Because, I mean, he's got to see you as like in a lot of ways as a hero, but then in a lot of ways you're his mentor, you know what I mean? So how do you do that?
I mean, me and Pat Barber were sitting down there having this exact same conversation about Alec, because I've been told by a lot of people, and I've known Alec his whole life, like, he's always been just very, very naturally gifted at everything. You know, he's always really good at everything. Doesn't seem like he has to practice a lot. And CrossFit's different in the fact that you can be really good at it, but you gotta go out there and you gotta turn it on when you have to turn it on. And I think once he realizes how to do that, there's not a lot that's going to stop him. So.
Is he learning that right now, or is he still...
That's what I think the big thing is that he's working on, and he's, like, when we're training, we're very competitive now. Like, it's like we get a chance to, me, Alec, and Dane compete together every single day at the gym. It's, for me, since that's something new, it's really hard for me because we're, like, 100% every single day. Like, we don't train as much now because... You know, we're getting after it at a lot of higher intensity because we're all competing every day. So I think it's all making us all better. And that's something we're working on with Alec. And he's right there with us in workouts, and some workouts he's not. And we're trying to, you know, work with him and see what, you know, what's his limiting factor, and trying to build up his engine, I guess, is what he always says. But
you don't feel like it's necessarily physical with him. It's more psychological?
I think so. I think it's a little bit of – it could be a little bit of both, but I think it's more psychological. I've always said CrossFit's a little bit more between the ears than people think. And that's kind of the athlete I am. I'm not a home run hitter, you know, like, I'm out there and I'm doing well in every single event. I don't think you need to go out there and crush any one event. If you can be top five in every event, you're going to win.
What you just said a minute ago about Alec, you know, turning it on the competition floor, made me think of what you said about, you know, this year where you really say, I'm really going to go for it, you know, in these events. Do you find that as CrossFit is growing, the athletes are getting better, that you can't really set back and, like, pace the weekends the way you used to be able to? I remember...
Oh, yeah, it's changed a lot.
Right?
You used to be able to go through, and you could... Honestly, it sounds stupid, but you could go through a workout at 80, 90%, and you could win the workout. Now it's like you gotta be on. You miss a rep, you're out, you know? Like, that's huge. Like, I remember that 30 snatches for time. I went out, and my bar was set up in the wrong position on the very first rep. I got a no rep. I was last moving on to the next bar, you know, so I had to play catch-up the whole rest of the workout. Like, stuff, little things like that get in your head as a competitor, and, you know, being a good competitor, you have to be able to, you know, kick that out. But, yeah, as the years have developed, the workouts have definitely changed. Programming has changed. It seems to come down to that. Every millisecond counts. Like, they're
right.
Counting down to, you know, your time is 10:52.62. You know, like,
yeah,
it's
close. The speed ladders. Especially
on those. I mean, it's just changing. And you have to, as an athlete, you have to be able to adapt to it. It's like going back to programming, and year after year, a good athlete's able to sit back, look at themselves, like, realistically, and say, hey, I need to work on this, or I need to work on this. Where some people need coaches, you know, other people don't need coaches. But a good athlete should be able to be fair with themselves and honest with themselves, and, like, know what they need to work on for the next year.
What is more stressful, the regional weekend or the games week?
Regionals.
Regionals is more stressful. Why is it regionals? I've heard that from multiple athletes.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, the events are so different. You know, there's fewer events, for one, so you slip up, and it's, you know, it's, somebody's right there to take your spot. The games, there's a lot more events. They're a lot different. There are things that people might not have done before, which is just a little bit different of a challenge. But regionals comes down to every second counts. And a lot of the, I don't even call the workouts at regionals. I call them events. Like, I don't train like that. I normally train like we do workouts, where we do, like, it's different than an event.
Yeah.
I mean, if you get what I mean, like, an event's like 15 muscle ups and then five or six squat cleans moving up in weight. Like, I'm never going to do that at my gym. because right. it's just annoying to set up, and like it's so short, and you have to do it a couple times to get a quote workout out of it. So yeah, there are more tests and events than they are workouts nowadays.
Yeah, it's so funny because you hear people who are training at really high volume, and I know that you guys do quite a bit of training at your gym, but like you say, you don't need to do as much because you're going such high intensity. But I looked at that year that you're talking about with the 15 muscle-ups and the clean. I think I worked out for a total of 47 minutes over 3 days.
Yeah, that was my least favorite regional, I think, that they've had.
That was brutal.
To date. Yeah, it was just different. It was just and that's the thing about regionals is, like, anything can come out any year. You don't know what it's going to be. And, you know, short, long, it's just, you know, they got to – it's hard to keep it – it's hard to keep it consistent year to year, you know, because different people make it each year. And
going back to you talking about athletes self-reflecting and being able to adjust,
yeah,
if you had to point to, you know, one or two things that you've reflected on yourself in like an honest moment as being weaknesses, what would you say those are?
They were gymnastics at one point. I feel like I've really worked on that and hammered on that and gotten a lot better at it. Still could get better. You can always improve.
Any specific movements?
Handstand push-ups, pressing, like overhead, handstand like walking.
Deficit stuff?
Yeah, sure, deficit stuff or just regular handstand push-ups or handstand walking was the big thing for me. And that's something that I really, really worked on and had it at the games, and I just felt really good, really confident. I know that my hard work paid off, and then other
stuff. Did you win that workout?
The handstand walk? No, I did well, though. I didn't win it, but yeah.
So the gymnastics have been kind of sealed up, but what
that
now?
Was one, and it's always like I'm always just work, like the way that they've gone lately is they've gone towards, you know, it sounds silly, but quote unquote fitness, right, rather than
CrossFit.
It's just
I
different.
Know what you mean.
It's just different. The workouts are, you don't stop for a second, you know, for 10 or 12 minutes. They program a workout now where you don't stop moving for 10 or 12 minutes. Like back in the day, you're doing Cindy, you know, you're taking 15 seconds between rounds because you're exhausted or whatever, you know.
Right.
It's a different workout. Now the workouts are more geared towards that fitness. The weights are lighter. I think they're going away from that heavier loading. You know, I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe they'll prove me wrong next year and they'll go all heavy workouts, which they could. But it seems lately, in the past couple of years, they've been going lighter and more towards the fitness side.
Are you talking about in the regionals or the games?
Everything.
Yeah,
they've all been. I mean, look at the open regionals and games from last year. We'll look at the heavy barbells. Where were the heavy barbells? Look at 2013. Almost every event had a heavy barbell.
2013 was horrible.
A heavy barbell. Not just like a moderate load, like a weight where you can't do the set unbroken. And then look at 2016. Every event, everybody does everything unbroken. It's just a matter of how fast you transition between movements and how fast you keep moving. The run, snail push, rope climb, double DT. You know, like it's different. It's different.
Double DT.
That was yeah. That was.
There might have been some drop barbells.
That was like
one.
Five rounds too long.
I'm like worried that they're going to bring that out of the hopper for regionals.
Yeah, you know I mean? Think he wanted to do it at regionals. Dave said he wanted to do it at regionals.
Oh well, there you go. Yeah. So it's probably coming.
Yeah.
That's a good observation that they're going more towards fitness, like being able to keep moving for the entire event.
Yeah.
Unbroken sets.
But you have to train that way. You have to practice that way. And that's something I'm always working on.
Very cool.
Did you do the Fran Unbroken?
Nope.
Nine and six.
Nine and six on the set of 15. Yeah.
For both chest
bar? Yeah, for both the chest bar and the thrusters.
That's how you reel in,
but I think you attack that differently if you don't have the assault bike afterwards, honestly. Because I went last, so I feel like I had to really kick it on the assault bike. Not saying that I tried it my hardest, right? But I think I could have hung on for 15 and 15 if I really wanted to.
If you were done.
If I really wanted to and I was done after Fran, yeah. I haven't done heavy Fran in a while. That was hard.
What's the heaviest Fran you would ever do?
I would ever do?
Yeah.
135.
That was heavy enough?
When they make me.
Yeah, right?
I think there's going to be a heavy like heavy version of Fran that will be like muscle-ups instead of pull-ups. And the weight will be...
But then you get to that point where you're not... It's not an event anymore. It's a workout, right? Because you're breaking it up. Or, you know, multiple sets each movement. You don't want to see that.
Light.
You would have to keep the thrusters light. Yeah. But you'd have to kind of pick the reps of muscle-ups that would be tough for some people to go unbroken. But
15, 12, 9?
Yeah, that'd be hard. Yeah.
That's an event, not a workout.
That's more of an event, yeah. For some people, it's more of an event, right?
That's a workout that would be
tough
to beat.
It depends on the athlete.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like, if you had you, Dane, and Alec doing that workout, like, you think that's probably favoring Alec.
With the muscle ups?
Yeah.
Sure.
It'd be close, though.
Yeah, it'd be tight.
I just feel like Ben's this veteranness, you know what I mean? Like, makes it hard for him to beat on a workout with that many muscle ups, right?
Well, yeah, I think there's a lot of like expectations of victory. You know, when you become an athlete, like, you have to at some point know that you can actually do it. Like you said, the year you won, you knew you could win that year for whatever reason.
You have to.
I mean, but when, like, let's go back a year or two before that, it's hard to know you can win when Rich is in the field. You know, like, to really know that you can win until you've actually done it. So, like, I don't know how many times someone like you, your younger brother, has ever beat you, but, like, you know you can win, right? That's going to be a psychological hurdle for them to get over as a mature athlete.
I mean, you have to know, like, going into any competition, like Alec and Dana are here. We're here to win. Like, that's what you come to a competition for. You have to absolutely believe that you can win.
How many people do you think actually fully believe they can win? I think it's only
those same people that finish the top 5 and the top 10 every year are the people that actually think they can. Everybody else is just there to compete.
Yeah, I don't think it's that many.
Yeah, I think that there are some guys who kind of stumble into, like, a good couple finishes, and then they start to gain momentum and believe right. They can win at that point. They're like, oh, I actually did had a good...
Yeah, you have to taste a little bit of success sometimes in order to believe that, but some people go in, they just know it right from the get-go. That's all about mentality and how you approach it.
So the 3 years I was at the games, 09, 10, and 11. 09, no expectations, whatever, had a great finish, was 7th. It's like, wow, I'm actually pretty good at this. 2010, first event, Amanda in the lights, not good at muscle-ups yet. Crash and burn, the whole weekend's kind of just surviving. 2011, coming in again, kind of like 2009, no real expectations, didn't think I could win at all. Somehow, turn around at one point and I'm in third, right?
Yeah.
And I never had the idea that I could win, even at that point, because... Rich was like 500 points ahead of everybody after like the second day. But I never felt like I was an athlete that really truly believed that I was capable of winning the games. But I loved being there, and I ended up finishing 5th that year,
yeah,
which is amazing and respectable, and I'll forever, you know,
be
happy about that. I feel like what Ben said, gaining momentum over the course of consecutive years, I think that's a huge part of it. Like, being in the mix, in the final heat especially, multiple years in a row, that's what builds the confidence for somebody to think they can actually do it. If they're jumping around, like, then you think, oh, maybe it was just good events for me this year or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big believer in how you think, and your perspective on things is going to determine your reality. I mean, you go out there and you think you can win, you have one good event, like, hey, I'm right there. It's all about your perspective and how you see things, because, you know, a negative person would, you know, if they have a bad event, the rest of the weekend's out. You know, they're done. But, hey, that's my bad event. I'm out. I'm done. Every event after that's going to be a positive one. It's going to be good. They're like, I like climbing the leaderboard. You got to know that. Like, I enjoy that. I don't know.
Well, it's funny. I mean, I think that what you're talking about is something I experience on the regional level. You know what I mean? Both you guys being games athletes. Like, when I first qualified for regionals, I remember the first year, I mean, you know, Blair was to me like Ben Smith is to many of these guys, right? Like, he was like a big deal, right? And so I was third when I left after the first day, you know, and my wife was like, hey, you're in third. I was like, you should check the leaderboard again. They're probably just updating the scores. You know what I mean? And then I step onto the field.
You've been like, yeah, I'm in third.
Yeah, right. Exactly, right?
And I'm going to move up to second next day and first the next day.
Yeah, but that's not what I thought. I thought they made a mistake and there's no way I was that fit. Right, but I qualified. This one, they took 60. 60 to regional, right? You know what I mean?
Right, everybody made it. Yeah,
everybody made it. You know what I mean? It's like, and I was like 61, and somebody like, I, you know what I mean? I like fell. So anyway, it was like a big deal. And then, you know, every year since then, you know, I mean, I have not made it to the games, but I've been top 10 for the last 5 years. And it's like, I kind of expect to be there, even if I'm qualifying, you know, like every year I'm in the first heat, you know what I mean? Because I qualify so. I barely qualify every year from the Open, so I have to get in there, but I know by the end I'm going to be in the last heat because I've been there, right, and I believe it. And so don't know, kind of what you're talking about kind of makes sense to me, right? Like, from even a regional level.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's just something I feel like I've been, me personally, I've been raised that way, and I've always been taught that, like, if you're going to, if you want to do anything, like, you go to be the best at it. You don't just go to, like, compete or do it. Like, you go to win. Like, you want to, you just want to be the best you possibly can at it, and you got to find that thing that fits, and CrossFit's that thing that fits for me, and I'm going to try to be the best at it. I want to be the best CrossFitter I can possibly be.
Yeah, and over the course of your career, I mean, you have been one of the best ever to be, you know, to do CrossFit. And that's,
if there's a CrossFit Hall of Fame, I mean,
you're going.
You're going, buddy. You're in the CrossFit Hall of Fame. There's a DJ here really just chomping the bit to steal this booth from us. But if people want to follow you, Ben, or maybe get onto your programming, what, where are they going to follow you? What are they going to do to kind of be a Ben Smith follower?
Sure. I'm on Instagram. I think it's like Beast, SMIT13. And then I have a new page called the Ben Smith Blueprint. It's my programming page. You can follow. You can follow the Instagram page, or you can sign up for the programming. But it's my programming every single day.
It's exactly what you do?
I program exactly what I do. I give like an AM and PM session, so people could, I say, if you're a competitor, try to follow as much of you as you can. It's a good template to follow. You know, it's proven and everything. If you just want to work out, grab one session or find something you need to work on, and they're all really good workouts. They're all going to make you better. I train with a lot of people from all different levels, and it works for everybody. So, yeah.
If you happen to not get in two sessions, will you still put two sessions up?
Oh, yeah, you know, I still send out an email every week with everything that I've done, AM, PM sessions. And I tell people, like, you guys want to pick one or the other, or pick parts of both, or, you know, combine it into your ideal session or how much time that you have in your life. You know, if you're a competitor, here's what, you know, one of the best people, one of the best CrossFitters is doing. You can follow it. Like, that's a good template. Like, it's something that I've worked on for a long time in programming. I really love programming. And it's something I've built up over the years, and I think I got a pretty solid structure on how to get better consistently.
Is it a monthly program?
You subscribe to it month to month. Yeah.
Okay. And how much is it per month?
It's $50 per month.
$50, and you're getting the programming that Ben Smith is doing. Pretty good deal.
That might be worth it.
It might be.
Hey, thanks again for being here, Ben. We know.
Yeah, thanks
busy.
For having me.
Good luck the rest of the way for you and the brothers.
Hopefully you take second.
Hopefully you take second. Make sure you guys follow us at BTB Podcast. Go to iTunes, download this episode, and subscribe to us monthly. Take it easy, Ben.
Thanks, guys.